What is up, everybody? My name is James D. Fiore, and this is Blackballed. All right, I'm going to set the scene here. Where was I living? Oh, yeah, rock bottom. And rock bottom, in this sense, was in my mother's bachelor apartment with her husband, my stepfather, I guess you could say, and in South Oshawa in a bachelor apartment. So if you know anything about that area, I was like 2 days away from a gun in the mouth, probably either by my hand or someone else's. Maybe not that. That might be overstated, but it was horrible. And to make matters worse, even though it probably was not going to mean anything for me anyways, the producer that I was working with as a hip hop artist got signed by Sony and couldn't work with any of his buddies anymore. His lawyers were like, you can't do this anymore. So I went and found a producer in Toronto. And my buddy Nigel from the podcast is driving me to this Pickering Ghost Station. I'm just like negative. I'm just like, Nigel, I can't live where I'm living, but I don't have any prospects for jobs. Blah, blah. And he's like, dude, just calm down. And then he got all philosophical. And at the time, I was a little cynical with him. But he was like, listen, dude, hip hop is in everything. That's the bed track. That bird over there is the snare. Blah, blah. And he started making like a point that if you are proactive in sort of changing your life for the better, then you have control, and it's a balancing act, and that's kind of what hip-hop is anyways. So I'm at the Pickering Ghost Station, and I'm feeling this new kind of like Nigel vibe and like kind of positive. And over on the other side of the platform, I see this disheveled, sweaty, perplexed person, and I'm watching him go and ask people for cigarettes, and everyone keeps on denying him. And then I smoked at the time, and I had smoked, but he wasn't going to ask me because I didn't have anyone lit. And he was about to walk by me, and I held my pack up, and it kind of hit him in the chest, and I was like, take one. And he made it seem like I just offered him, like, I don't know, a vaccine, polio vaccine in 1920 or something, because he's like, oh my God, thank you so much. These fuckers, they, like, and I was watching, he's right, there were the kids that were basically smoking in his face, and you're like, I don't smoke, or I don't have any or something. We rode the train together. I'm going to take this over. We rode the train together from Pickering to Toronto and just sort of shot the shit. And I'm going to fast forward it now. To make a medium-sized story stay medium, you might have to help me out with this. I think it was early 2000. And so that was 23 years ago. I became his roommate, his business partner for a short time. I was the MC at his wedding because at the time I wasn't really trusted well enough to be a best man. Have him on the show today because, and I want to do this more often. I want to start, and it's not just. Great. Hey. Adam Can, welcome to the show. It just said that the stream was down, so that's why the awkward intro is happening. But the gentleman that I met, that still is one of my best friends to this day, is Adam Can. Adam, welcome to Blackballed. You kind of brought Flop with you to fuck with my tech. I don't know what you use for your exciting.
Still podcast. Accountable, James. Still accountable. That's what I'm like sorry. About you.
I take after my wife.
Okay. I mean, my internet only has 100 megs a second, so I apologize.
That's okay.
I'll try to make it faster next time.
Okay, thank you. Adam, you're coming to us today from, I think it's an Ecstasy Front company. Where are you right now?
I'm actually in the waiting lobby on at a Rub and Tug. So yeah. Yeah,
but I guess Korea, that's like going
they're
to
busy.
The
they're busy today.
That's like going to the mothership of Rub and Tugs, isn't it?
Sadly, not. That would be Thailand.
Wow, you really know the specific prejudicial things to hit. Whereas I'm just like willy-nilly.
Hey, I'm here. Like, facts are facts, James.
Okay, I want people to understand something. So, we are good friends. We've had our issues. Don't get me wrong. But that story, although both of us are probably a little bit tired of it because it's been so long. But the essence of that story that I was trying to get across anyways, though, is that if you walked by without me giving you a cigarette, you know, I'm not saying our lives would be better or worse, but they would just be totally different. We wouldn't know each other. I wouldn't have met the girl that ended up fucking my uncle. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. And and you wouldn't have been able to see me make your girlfriend do my ironing while in a short towel. So, I mean, I think we're even.
Somewhat. And the other, from my perspective, it's also like that day I was helping my ex-brother-in-law's friend move in Pickering. Like, it's just like, why was I there? Right. Like,
yeah, because you're not that nice, and you don't even like your sister that much.
At the time, I didn't love her to bits now. That's another update. Oh, God. Yeah. That's a story off air. But yeah, her and I are thick as thieves now. But which will be weird for come anyway. But yeah, that day. So I'm helping my sister's. So my ex-brother-in-law's friend move. I don't even think it was him. And the other weird part was I like to eat. And there
that is weird.
We'd finished moving, and I don't remember any reason that I needed to be back in Toronto. And I just said, there was beer there. Like, it was time to get paid in food and alcohol. And I was like, just take me back to the.
Yeah, someone said something to you that was a little curt about the way you were helping or something. And you were like, fuck this.
Don't remember that part. Yeah, but the weird part for me was giving up, you know, as a student with no money, giving up the food and alcohol part. Because we met in like the afternoon, right?
Yeah, I don't remember exactly what time. It must have been early afternoon, like 2 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the part that blows my mind the most. And then second is that I turned out a meal and alcohol. And then secondly,
I never saw you do that since.
Yeah, exactly. And then, for you to just, and I can remember vividly, like you, as you said, like I didn't ask lots of people. I know for sure you were the third.
Okay. Right? I thought I saw you.
I do have some dignity. Right. But I do remember the cigarette hitting me in the pack. I remember the cigarette hitting me in the chest, and I just I was extremely grateful because I don't even think I was a regular smoker at that time.
You weren't. You never really were. Like, you were one of those assholes that could be like, I don't think I'm going to smoke for like 8 months. You know.
Yeah.
I'm like, why? Because I can. Fuck.
Yeah. Talk to me about food and addiction. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. So anyways, that continues to be one of the only stories that I can recall in detail that sort of nibbles the edges of synchronicity and all that kind of stuff. I don't, even though that domino knocked over some shit where I was like, oh my God, look what's behind that domino. An uncle, he's awful. Like, you know what I mean? A lot of things were exposed because we became friends. And I look at that as like, you know, in all seriousness, as the most profound learning experience I've ever had. One, because I'm not trying to say like I was some sort of saint. It's a fucking cancer stick. But like the unprovoked act of like giving someone something because you can tell that they need it was pure Nigel. It was not something I would normally do. I've done it since, but not something that like I would have done back then. So all credit goes to Nigel for that. And your will, like, everything was perfect that day. And after, I sound like we're going to make an announcement.
I know.
You know what I mean?
But we do bust each other's balls. Just,
oh, yeah. We do. Yeah. And we'll get to that as well. But if you guys want to make the screen, can you put it in larger font? Cause Adam's a blind person.
Yeah. So, exactly. Like,
half blind. Yeah. Well, whatever it is. He's handicapped. I don't know. I can't tell what it is. So that's what we do. We both see those as well. But the synchronicity story is good because meeting you hasn't meant that every single thing that's happened because I met you is great. But all of those things were like the most brutal but important learning experiences as well. So you're like the Forrest Gump of synchronicity. Something like
that. Because I knew this conversation was coming and I haven't thought about it in a while. Uh-huh. But I felt like you and I helped each other grow up. Like, because I've been in Korea so long,
Yeah.
The amount like we helped each other grow up at that age, it was life changing for me. You know what I mean? Like, you think I helped you. Well, I think the opposite. You helped me and still do, right? Even though we're super far away, there's never been like absence, you know, out of sight, out of mind kind of thing. It's just anytime I've had a real issue, you know, yeah. So we'll stop the ass kissing there. But yeah, I couldn't be more thankful. You're my safe space.
Aww.
And by that, I mean, no, you're the opposite of what people think.
I'm not a bottom.
You're the opposite of what people think a safe space is. I work in quote unquote academia. So my kind of construction, you know, sort of sense of humor doesn't really fly, you know, around people, you know, ..
Yeah. So like they're not Family Guy fans.
Well, it doesn't even matter. It's just like they can't do humor or even if they are, it's the British, like I've got all kinds of anecdotes, but like it's the British Council where people they're British or they're good at banter, but you know, there's lines you can't cross. But with you, I don't know, as the world's gotten more restricted in what you can and can't say, I've always loved that you and I can just say the worst things ever.
Oh yeah.
And it's like, very cathartic for me. And for that, I'll always be thankful.
Listen, and when we say that, we're not talking like we don't drop N-bombs and stuff like that, but we'll take the piss out of any culture just for whatever, especially our own. You know, I'm 5'6", so Adam feels well within his rights, and as he should, to ask me when my jockey career will start or something mm-hmm. like that. You know what I mean? I'll ask Adam if he needs a cane to cross the sidewalk, even though the sidewalk is 3 feet, because he's got.
James is small enough to be my seeing eye dog if I ever need one. So that's handy.
That's true, and he likes to have me by his side like that, so he can stroke my fur. So.
Zach,
I also thought that you were black when I met you because you had
many people do
right because when you grow for some unknown miscellaneous reason Adam grows afro hair like legit
like it's this short but it's that curly.
You know who you look like you remember one of those nondescript husbands for the older Huxtable girls? That guy, you know what I mean? Like you have that guy hair. I got to know your family and stuff. We had a really interesting situation because I've told this story from a totally other angle before where people are like, how did you get into the rave scene? I'm like, well, it's a pretty simple story. Actually, I met somebody and we became buds. And so I moved into his place and there was a third roommate. And that third roommate at the time, I would describe him as a person who was, big in that scene. Whether or not that bigness was artificially created or not, we won't have to go there. But I did meet a lot of famous DJs. So I like the Tiësto stories because what was it? What was the question that you asked Tiësto again? Tiësto's one of the world's. He's one of the world's most famous DJs. He's a trans DJ. Yeah. This was like 1999 or 2000 or something. Mm-hmm. And the good thing about being a club promoter or an events promoter. Is that there was a general acceptance to do hardcore drugs while you worked, like ecstasy and things like that. So it was like it was the community understood that that it was okay for some reason to get all fucked up. And then for some reason you were tasked with interviewing Tiësto.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened and what question did you ask?
Well, our super sketchy, and you know why I choose that word, business partner again. I don't know why I choose that word. slash dictator. Right before the interview, he was going to do it. And then he got worried because he owed people money in like Calgary. And then last minute, like I was just a lackey. Like I can tell, I feel comfortable in saying like what I was. And then suddenly it's like, in my mind, it was like minutes before. It was like, you do it. And I didn't prepare a thing. So 2-3 questions in, I remember the question. It was, hey, fancy, you know, DJ, what part of Amsterdam are you from? Like it was a country, right? And just like, yeah.
It was even dumber than that because you were like, oh, really? Oh, have you ever traveled to the Netherlands or something? Like it was like,
no, not that dumb. But like, that's where my brain just is like, we're not remembering this anymore because it was like question. And it was just like, you know what? My brain has just like pushed it down because, you know, It was pathetic.
just on that, I've been having I don't want to call them senior moments because I think they're edible moments, but they're not. Where I'll be like interviewing somebody or making a comment or even just in conversation, and I know where I'm going with the point, and when I'm halfway to it, I forget the beginning and end of it. I'm just completely like, what was I fucking just talking about? I've done it on this podcast on Casual Fridays now numerous times.
Edible moment or just, you know, these stories can get long and windy and yeah, it's hard to get you find the way back. I'm serious. I'm trying to give you the benefit of the doubt.
The benefit, Jake, sometimes your meandering, boring tales can be a little bit meandering and boring. No, I get it though. I've been doing
you're an attention whore.
I do not seek attention. I'm a little bit of a whore, but I don't actually, what's the difference? That's like redundant, isn't it?
Not really.
Well, the whores don't wear nondescript outfits, right? They wear things to get attention.
You could be a whore on the down low, right? You could be like
I know. Yes, you can, Adam. So actually, I should tell that story. Maybe I shouldn't tell the story. No, I'll tell it because I have to know. That's a rule, by the way, on Blackball. If you like, hey, you know, I have a really good story about Cynthia, but I can't say it on air.
Yeah,
I eject those people. So now I have to follow my story. I just won't name names.
Right.
But there was someone that I dated in high school, who was kind of kinky, kind of the person that, like the first time I heard her say something filthy when we were having sex, I was almost just like, how dare you, young lady? Like, it was so shocking to me. Like, it was, I didn't know what to do. I was like, holy fuck, that's crazy. And now, of course, I have no issues with that at all. So we find ourselves both single at the same time. And we had dinner and you know, we had sex and we're buds. We knew that we weren't going to fall in love. So then she proposes to me that she says, like, she hasn't been able to find anyone that can give her what she needs. Because they're too afraid because she likes certain things. And she's like, would you do it? And anyways, long story short, I don't know what it was, like once a month or twice a month for like a year, I went over there and followed her detailed instructions and she paid me like $300. Can I tell you that the getting paid kind of made it hot? I don't know. Is it really prostitution if you know the person?
No, but yeah. I think taking money kind of makes it prostitution.
I'm saying it probably reestablished the erection.
Yeah.
It's getting paid for that. I don't know. It seems so theatrical and like absurd to me. Like we were in a holodeck program or something. Like, well, how is this happening? So you just want to let that ride, right? Like you don't want to spoil that.
Well, for me, it's pretty shocking that I have never heard that story before.
I'm just trying to figure out if you met her. I think you have once.
So that's, To not hear a juicy one like that, you've come to terms with something. So
I come to terms, I think, with not announcing that stuff in public. Unfortunately, I just went back on that. You also taught me to suck it up, because you came back a year after my bad breakup, and I don't know what was happening, but I was we were walking back to my house and I was upset and I was just like, and you stopped me and you're like, it's been a year. And I was like, yeah, what is there a certain time amount that we go by? You know,
hey, relative to how old we were then, a year's a long time.
Yeah, that was like 19 years ago now.
Let's just say, like, of our like conscious life, that's like 5% of your life, right? Like what, 20 years? Yeah, roughly.
Yeah,
so yeah, when you're 20, you're 22 or 23, that's a year is a chunk, man. Now it's a week.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, no, it's so many learning experiences. Like, there's people that I mean, I didn't enjoy that breakup. I don't know if you're aware of this or not.
It's the one time that I had to filter myself, right? Because
But how so?
Well, when you told me this is how bad we are, like for anyone who cares, like when you told me about, you know, the uncle and the whatnot, I told you, like, one of my first thoughts was the stupid Uncle Fucker song from South Park.
Right. I wrote a whole rap with that as the hook.
But I didn't say it. I at least waited 2 weeks to a month before I said it. And then I admitted that I felt guilty that came to my mind. And you're like, it's all right, you piece of shit.
Honestly, there comes a point, there's like a tipping point in guy friendships where if you go over the edge, it's either you're either going over the falls in a barrel that's secure, right, or you're not, right? Like, you know, and so, yeah, it would be interesting to see a third party there try to make that joke with one of us and us being like, sorry, what the fuck did you just say?
You know? Well, that's the beauty of friendship, isn't it? And that's what I mentioned about the safe space is, yeah, we don't have to filter each other. And we both know that we, oh my God, this is lame, but we come from a position of love. And rather than hug each other, we say something so, so psychologically hurtful. Yeah, it actually shows that we know the other person that well, yeah, if that makes sense.
It does make sense.
And yeah, so yeah, it's actually bro love.
we were doing that one year at Christmas at your parents' house, and your mom was just like, I don't think this is healthy. Cause I kept going though. We were drunk all the time. And I was like, Adam, you know, the only reason your parents sent you the Canadian National Institute of the Blind is because they were just tired of you knocking your fucking ass into all the furniture here at home. Something like that. And your mom's like, that's not true, Adam. And I'm like, I know. So you've been in Korea now for like 20 years. When you left, how long did you think you were going to go for? Because I thought you were going to last like 3 months.
I don't know how much time you have, but it's kind of like you bring up memories. And I remember being on the plane ride, right? From, I think it was from like Chicago. I connected in Chicago and I was Chicago going to Korea the first time. And it was the weirdest moment to that point in my life, because I was excited to go somewhere different. But the reason I was going there is because I was a loser.
Okay. Let's expand that for a second. What do you mean?
Well, you know,
like you were easily, you know, lost in a crowd here kind of thing. Like you didn't stand out.
Well, I was happy to leave, right? Like Canada wasn't really doing it for me at that time. And like when I graduated university, it wasn't the best economy. It wasn't like as bad as it is now, let's say, but it wasn't the best. And here's a place that's going to offer me a job. And, you know, I graduated university. I thought I could get a job in some company. I worked for like a year and a half and I love that experience, you know, selling snake oil. And then it was just like, but
finally,
you know,
I've always believed in his product. Yeah.
I've always been honest with myself, or at least tried to be. And I was, like I said, I was excited to go, but part of me knew that I was a loser, and it did bring a tear to my eye while I was like,
you told me something like that. You told me something like that once. You did. You're like, and it wasn't like a screed against North American women. No. You know, but it was like, you're like, James, like I could be here and compete for jobs and can, you know, try to find really nice women. And then, but it's all on this and that. And you said it something to the effect of, you go there and I'm told that, women who are like really gorgeous won't look at you like you're not in their league. Like they don't do that over there. So that duds like yourself, like you just said, can actually find themselves with a 9 on their arm, you have. And your wife, to her credit, although clearly the joke doesn't land right because it's not true at all, but she's like, you told her the joke because
funny.
Yeah, because I posted, I think it was on Facebook or Twitter, I'm like, Adam's wife is 9 and Adam is a 5, right? And then Adam told his wife, and his wife's like, well, Jamie's a 1.
Yeah.
And I was just like,
but she didn't mean it. But then I sent it and she was mad at me. She's like, why did you send that? I'm like, because it's funny. And she's like, but it's mean. I'm like, what do you think we do? Like,
that's
yes,
okay.
Anyway.
That's okay. I sent her a dick pic in return. That's fine.
Fair enough.
It's actually a picture of a pic that you use for hair and it just has the word dick on it. So
fair. Okay.
It's for your hair.
it's a pick I use to comb my dick hair. I don't know.
Wow.
What were we talking about? But yes. So one of the realizations, like for Asian ladies, I am much more attractive. Okay. There was a show years ago, and this is where I finally realized, like, oh, this is what they prefer. So there was a show. Do you remember Prison Break?
I do.
Okay. Younger.
I saw a
me.
Few episodes. I don't remember.
Anyway, younger,
I just remember good-looking guy trying to get out. That's what I remember.
Well, But that's the thing. I always thought the older brother, like, for our standard, is more handsome. Like, he had an older brother, and he was, like, bigger and bigger face. But Asian people, they were obsessed with the younger guy, the guy who is in, you know, the smart guy.
That says a lot about Asian movie producers, I think.
Well, anyway, I kind of look like that guy. So for, like, a year in Korea when that show was popular, wow. Life was pretty good because really? I kind of looked like him. Yep.
Did Asians you ever milk it? Were you ever like, I am
him? Oh, for sure. No, no, but they're a very vain bunch here. Like, you know, they're more like, especially.
Oh, except man. For apparently spelling. I
don't know. Yeah. But anyway, it's a vain culture. I'll leave it at that. Very superficial. So if you're handsome, the world is your oyster. And they have a different definition of handsome. So lucky for
What's
me.
The definition of handsome there? Half blind, afro, pale skin.
Well, they're racist, so you gotta have white skin, right?
Oh my god, really? Oh, so you never let your hair grow out there then anymore?
Well, it doesn't matter because it's still the skin is white. That's all they care about.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Tom Segura is the only comedian I've seen nail this, and he talks about how he's working with a Japanese producer, and the Japanese producer was being a little racist towards one of the Filipino, like, stage hands or whatever you call them, or grips. And then Segura's like, well, what was that? And the Japanese guy does this. And it's a really funny bit.
Do it again. Do it again. What did you do? Like, just shame, but on your tongue. Okay.
Yeah. Rubbed his skin color. Like, because Segura's like, well, why don't you like that person? And he nailed it. Because that is, I mean, it's getting better. It is, but like.
How do you know it's getting better? You mean people are hiding their hatred better?
No, at least the media here is trying to like be more open-minded. Like, there's all these cool guys on like Korean TV that speak Korean fluently and they follow their lives. So definitely the image of like, you know, being, you know, different, like being black, they've made an attempt to try to like curb the racism. Like I've heard stuff, like the N-word in Korean, older people still use it casually, and it's just like, wow. Whoa, dude.
There's different kinds of racism. There's like American white guy racism that is like, even the history can't make you not a racist, which means that you are fucking racist, right? Like it's like the everything. It feels like, and I could be totally wrong about this, but it feels like the old man Japanese racist thing is really like, if you talk to him, he'd be like, I've never been around black people ever in my life. And they look so crazy different from me that I just want to do that. Like, it doesn't feel like it's visceral hatred. It's more like ignorance and a lack of familiarity. I could be totally wrong about that. But they don't seem too eager to invest their time into learning about other cultures in order to judge them, you know?
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Yeah, I don't want to pretend like I know what the mindset is. Yes, they're not the ancestors of, you know, slave owners per se, right. But it's also weird, right? Like, it's just like, what did you just say that word? Like,
yeah, they say it where I live. That makes it like, I've heard it here a couple of times. I've heard it. Sometimes the most disturbing ones are the ones that are preambled with like, and listen, before I say this story, we're just talking about candy. And it's like, right. Oh my God, like, you don't have to say N-word toes. You don't, you know, like, because I get it. They called the toffee that you're eating N-word toes when you were a kid. But Aunt Debbie, you're 76 now. The story's old. And when you retell it, just drop the fucking N-bomb. Like, I was talking to someone the other day.
And don't look like you're happy to have an excuse to say it.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Yeah. An example of that I was talking about it with someone on the podcast the other day about how they're like, James, come on. When you're listening to your favorite Nas track and you're by yourself, you don't say it. I'm like, I actually don't. Because for some reason, I have a visceral response to myself saying that word. And I know exactly where it comes from. I was like 18 and I had never done this before. And I'm glad I did it to Nigel and not some other guy, because I went to his house to go record, and he opens the door and I was like, my N-word with an A, right? And and he just looks at me and he's like, James, come on in. We got to talk. And I was like, okay. I was 17 or 18 or something. And he explained to me before fucking the media did or any teacher, this is like 1992, 93 or something. My buddy Nigel told me why the double standard is actually something that makes sense. And I actually think that society itself has co-signed the double standard and understands it. We're nuanced enough to understand the N-word politics. I think we can do almost anything.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
but like I said, to get back to Korea, like it's getting like from when I first came here and it's leaps and bounds. Like you said, I think it falls more into the ignorant category rather than like the hateful category. And I think that's a really, solid point, because I remember like walking with my first girlfriend in Korea. And
was she Korean?
Yes. And the hatred, the eyes and some of the comments. Yeah. Not the best, James. Not the
what,
best.
Comments about you?
About her.
Oh, did they look at your eyes? Like, geez, why wouldn't they leave her alone?
Well, because she was with a Western person. She was a slut.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. That sort of opens up a whole new like understanding of why your wife's dad hated you so much for that.
No. Nope. Actually, the dad didn't hate me. You're misremembering. It was strange. The mom hated me. The dad actually liked me, because when he met me, he just like, he's a pretty liberal dad. He's conservative and crazy conservative in some ways. But for when he met me, he's just like asked my girl, whatever. He asked her like, do you like him? And he just liked that I seem
Unit
calm.
2681. Sorry.
And that I seem strong. He's like, he looks like he's healthy. And you look
That's
happy
that
together.
Thing you were talking about, where average men look like towering lumberjacks.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You're 5'9", like 185 10. Pounds or something.
10.
Yeah.
I need every inch I can get, James. Come on.
Yes. Yes.
But anyway, it was the mom that was like, no, thank you. It was weird. Because usually the stereotype is, and all my friends who have tried or have married Korean ladies, it's always the dad. But my situation was weird. It was the mom. But her and I get along well. And that's another thing I really respect about not everybody, it's but the slightly different culture is like, she dug in her heels pretty hard, but that's it, right? There's no long-term resentment. It's just, it's all love. You know what I mean? So
she's over it. She's over it.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Once she was over it, that was it. She was over it.
Let me ask you this.
There's no like lingering comments or,
Is she hot, the mom?
No.
Okay. Because you're supposed to look at the mom if you want to know what your wife is going to look like. So you just called your wife not very hot. I'm a little concerned about this.
It's okay. She looks more like the dad, and he's pretty hot. So
great. you're so progressive.
Hey, I try. Yeah.
The audience a little story. The story about your career arc in Korea. So you went over there, and at the time, I believe it was like one of those sort of like not run of the mill jobs for teaching English, but like what a beginner would probably get working for a company. Was it called the Chicago Company or something like that?
No, anyway, it was called. Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead.
So when you first went there, you were there for let's just say 2-3 years, and then you started to do shit, and I was like, holy fuck, this guy is like taking full on opportunity to double up on where he's at. And I don't know, do you have a doctorate now?
No.
Okay, good. I don't know why good, but tell me, give us an elevator sort of a synopsis on your career in the last 20 years.
I went over with the qualifications of being white, as I mentioned before, which they prefer, and English as a first language, Yeah. And why am I the only screen?
Because anyway. This is called the isolation shot where you're telling a story. And so I don't want to have to sit there like this when I feel like scratching my nose, right? That's
for some reason it made me shy. All right. So
he was in the pool.
I can't be double the size. Anyway, so I went over for the year with the qualifications of being white, speaking English, and having a university degree. Mm. And then from there, I guess I decided, like, I came back to Canada the first year. I'm like, you know, I want to have a go at it, and but I want to do something different. I don't want to just teach kids, because that's what I was doing the first year. And then luckily I got into working with adults, and that's when I really enjoyed
started to sleep, you with know, students. Oh, sorry. What? Not, I'm just kidding.
Not necessarily. But anyway, but yeah, anyway. So
don't
and then
add an
from
adverb
there,
in a sentence like that, Adam. Jesus. Not entirely.
I got one teaching degree, which really kind of opened the door and made me actually enjoy teaching. And then from
what kind of job would I need to interject so that people understand? Because I think a lot of people think that people go over there to teach English and everyone is sort of the same, but it's not like that at all. Right. So how did your position start to sort of deviate from the typical first 1 to 3 year English teacher in Korea? And is it? It's not a typical path for most people, is it?
No, I went kind of backwards. Like, I got lucky. I did a degree, like a small teaching degree, but it's quite well known in whatever my field. And I got into a university. So my third year in Korea, I started working at a university, and that's when I did my master's. Cause I'm like, you know, I guess I'm going to do this. Right. And I wanted to get a master's, cause usually you need to have a master's degree to work at a university. But the person that hired me just really liked the degree that I had gotten. Mm. And so I did my master's degree, and then I went to work for a better university. And then I worked for a British company. So I worked for like a national university, like quite a big one. I only worked there 1 year because the company I really wanted to work for was called the British Council. I was the only Canadian there. I've got some interesting stories from working there. And that was definitely my most enjoyable.
Did you sign an NDA, teaching. Adam?
An NDA. Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, being the only North American in like a British and Australian work environment, it's pretty, like, being a slight minority.
That'd be funny. Do they get offended if you do really bad British or Scottish accents?
No, okay. But funny you should say
safe.
That.
I'd be safe.
But it's funny you should say that. They don't mind throwing around their terrible American accent.
Oh, I hate it when they do. The Russians are really bad at that, too.
No, but this is a little... Because who cares about my career arc? So I was working at the British Council, and the one
my
thing...
audience cares, Adam. No, they don't. They don't care.
Yeah, because I'm very important. But they might find this story funny. So I work at the British Council. I'm the minority. I'm the only North American working there, and it's quite a progressive country.
Talk about the privileged minority. But go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Anyway, so they would love to come over, and you know. And British people are the best for this. They can really joke around. But I had this one gay coworker, and he came over, and this is how they would imitate my accent. Like, hey, Adam, did you get a new bag? That's really awesome. Look at that bag. Where did you buy it? Did you get it at the store? And I'm less like, and then
he's not like Chris. He's not like Dave Chappelle. Yeah.
But then I respond. I said, because he was gay. Yeah. I thought we were friends. I was like, oh, stop it, James. Stop teasing me about my bag. Seriously, it's just a bag. And I kind of go back at him.
There's nothing wrong with that, especially if that guy was.
He had a problem with that. He was his mouth dropped open. He was aghast. Like, you can't do that. I'm like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I go, how many Canadians work here? He's like, well, you. I go, how many gay coworkers do we have? He's like, well, maybe 5 or 6. I'm like, so who's outing,
that's the
like
weakest.
Who's making fun of I disagree thing. James, I disagree. You want to make fun of accents,
I don't believe in the whole hierarchy of victimology anyway, so it's like it doesn't even matter.
Oh, neither do I, but you right. got it. You can't just like make a fake accent and then, you know, someone does their own little lispy, you know, homosexual accent back. You can't be offended, can you?
You should have just told them that was just your British accent.
Oh no, I go over the top. Like, imagine Jon Stewart's accent. That's how I imitate them. Like,
oh really?
Because the thing is, if you ever say
like that kind
No, I do the Queen's, like, oh, isn't this just lovely? Like, that is my British accent. Like, I go full
do
like,
what you
queen.
Know. Do what you
oh,
know.
Dude. Yeah. Because for them, as soon as you say British accent, they get their panties in a twist.
Yeah.
Because it's just like,
except their panties are often full body.
Oh yeah. They're knickers. They're girdles. Yeah.
now made with real orphans or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Like the way they nitpick over where they're from. Oh dude, it's unbelievable. It's just like,
I don't think I've ever cared about anything, you know,
if you're from Northumberland or if you're from Newcastle and this, like, they always think that the people from the South are trying to fuck the people from the North. And it's just all like, oh dude, it's,
and human beings,
it's hilarious.
Is it like, what's that game where it's all pixelated and it's like, it's famous.
Pac-Man?
No, it's like a game where you build shit. War or something.
No. God, we're old.
I don't
Minecraft.
It feels, does the world feel like that sometimes where it's just like, what is going on? Because it happens in Italy, North and South. It happens in Holland, North and South. And they're always really suspicious. And it's just like, do you guys even know what you're doing? You know what it's like? It's like nations have turned into Habs and Leaf fans. You know, like the most vitriolic. And their whole like, and that's sort of what polarization is now. And it's like, you know, if they win, oh, something must have been wrong with the other team. The referees must have had a different, like, there's always some sort of reason why the hated team won. It is so odd to me, especially to watch a bunch of different shades of white
act
tribal. And it's just like, wow. Yeah. So it's really kind of a human thing then, you know?
Well, and they also have like a big private school system there, or as they call it, the public school system, which is bizarre. So anyway, if you get a real British person on and they speak candidly, like they expect you to stay in your place. Like they, it's not like North America where, you know, we cheer for like, you know, the success story or the Rudy. It's just like Rudy would be like, he would be told like, No, you don't try out. Like in England, like,
yeah,
like you're not in the right class. And any real, like, I have some real, like, honest friends, and they say, yeah, we suck. This is where we suck, right? Like,
yeah, the British suck in a lot of areas, to be honest with you. There's a few of them. That one's bad. The my sister's was married to a first generation Canadian, but from a long line of Brits, and his parents still have accents and all that.
Right.
And I ended up getting to know them. Then they got divorced or whatever. And then the pandemic hit a few years later. And I remember thinking, I was watching something and someone was saying, there was like a mental health expert, and they were saying something like, you know, COVID has really changed families. You know, people aren't communicating as much as they used to. They're not visiting each other anymore. And I turned to whoever I was with, and I was like, oh, so it's the British disease. I don't care if I see my family ever again. Oh, tra-la-la-la-la.
You know, like, do you remember one of the funniest things you've ever said to me is when I moved back to Canada for 2 months.
Okay, that was the funniest thing you've ever done. So I had a lot of material at that time.
Yeah. Well, and maybe I felt a little entitled because I lived in Asia and I saw the way family dynamics were here or there for when I was in Canada.
You guys didn't put 3 children in the dresser drawer to sleep at night. What the fuck?
I was a little shocked. God, I hope my parents never watch this because I love them to bits. But I was a little shocked at how hands-off-ish they were.
What? Oh, you're talking about Dongqing or whatever that's called?
No, I'm saying when I came back to Canada, like I was kind of surprised how, like, I don't know.
The unruly kids.
No. Like my own family.
Yeah.
Okay. Just how they didn't really want to help out that much.
Yeah.
Right. Or how not present they were. Like somebody would always look at a screen when they were with our baby daughter. Like just really not present behavior. And I remember complaining to you about these kind of things. And you said, did you forget that you're white?
Oh yeah.
And it just destroyed me. And it still does. Because I was so like annoyed, and you're just like, you just like leaned back and it's just like boom. And I
that looks like your eye might be swollen. Let me put a cheese grater on it.
Oh my God. And it just
I've been making that point for years. I've dated a few women of color and Latin women. And if you date, like, say, let's just say for argument's sake, a Latin woman for 2 weeks, and you meet her family for some reason after one, whatever, you feel closer to her family after week two than you will after 8 years in a British family. It just
Or most white Canadian families, James.
White Canadian, but there's a whole bunch. This is actually something that I might write a book on one day because it's so interesting. I talked about it on the other podcast. I think, I don't know if anyone's ever talked, I'm sure people have talked about it sort of or nibbled the edges, but especially in Ontario, Southern Ontario, my mom's still a Dutch citizen. My dad was full Italian, but a Canadian citizen. But both of their houses had Dutch and Italian shit happening. And then the house that we grew up in didn't have any Dutch shit, didn't have any Italian shit. So what does that mean? Someone shook the Etch-a-Sketch, and we're now creating culture for the first time in our family trees in like probably 2,000 years or something like that. And what did we create? We created video games, drugs, hip-hop, which is good, commerce, you know, road hockey, I guess, something like that. But there was, but that's it. And then they passed, then what did they pass down? The newer version of the things that they created as part of their culture. And I think what it did, it kind of fucked up a lot of people. Like, we don't have, maybe we have a DNA memory of culture and now that's being deprived. I don't know how it works, but like they're the only reason that you know, we're hoping for our kids. Because it's going to be nondescript.
Yeah.
Am I frozen right now?
Nope. You just unfroze on my end. Yeah. Oh, now it's just me. Now you're on the other side. All right.
Anyways, I don't know what part of that was cut off, but we don't have a culture in the suburbs because we were making it up because nothing was passed down, basically.
Yeah. And yeah, I couldn't agree more. And now, you know, I've lived here for a long time and just seeing people with a culture, like, this is how much food you should eat. You know what I mean? Like just that little thing or... It's just like this is how much rice you eat in a meal. Like, whereas it feels like my diet has changed like five times in my life. Like, I remember in like the 90s when I was trying to be like a very healthy person. And at that time it was like, don't eat eggs. It's like, what?
Buy
like,
tight
shirts. You remember that? Yeah. Or don't eat meat. Just eat lots of carbohydrates. Like, that was a thing in our culture. Like, and I still get people you eat two eggs a day? I'm like, yeah, because it's basically nature's multivitamin. They're like, don't you worry about the cholesterol? Like, holy crap.
Dude, there's a great skit in The Simpsons about this. About how like Carl or Lenny orders eggs or something like that. And I think Carl's like, hey, aren't you worried about the sodium or whatever it is, the cholesterol? And then Lenny's like, he just pulls like a brilliant stat out of his ass. He's like, actually, there's been a lot of discrepancy on whether or not eggs do carry. And then I looked it up after I saw that episode. And sure enough, the latest one is that, and it's like that for all animal fat. Animal fat apparently isn't the cholesterol monster. It's other things.
So. Yeah. Anyway, we don't want to make this a Rogan podcast.
No. I'm not advising you guys to eat anything except for Joe Rogan's wife. That's it.
Oh, yes.
What?
Anyway. But what were we talking about? Yeah, the no culture thing. It's pretty fascinating. But that joke you made was, it was just true, and it just made everything feel better.
You gave me similar advice once because I was disturbed at the. I received information that my new girlfriend, kind of promiscuous in her past, and loved giving multiple blowjobs at the same time, or whatever, and. And I was like,
I regret this advice, by the way, but go
no, but
on.
I was like, I was distraught, not because I was like, is she going to be doing that all the time now? But because it just ran so counter to what I believed I had values for at a time in a girlfriend. Obviously, there's a primal kind of like man thing that just doesn't like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you were like. And it was so simple. It was like getting advice from Winnie the Pooh or something. Because you were like, we've all been kids, man. And it was years later where I was like, I don't know many kids that suck two dicks at once.
Yeah.
Wait a second.
What kind of childhood did Adam have? What kind of childhood did Adam have?
Why did I give him props on that advice? Like, what's going on?
I never thought about that. But
I never thought about that going forward unless I was masturbating. So it all worked out. Right?
Fair enough.
I can't do these late shows, eh? I did Casual Fridays, and I got mad. I'm not going to do that to you, but I got mad at like Ryan and Ashley because I felt, and I haven't watched it, but I felt there were moments like this. And yeah, and then and so I think that you know, the politics should land somewhere in the middle or whatever it was that I said. And Ashley's just like this. Okay. it's like, you can't do that. And so I should have just made a mental note, but I kept on spitting out the stuff that I was thinking right out of my cry hole.
Hmm.
Yeah, I had to feature that, Adam, as like the main selling point of it because it's so glaring to me.
Right. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Anyway, just to fast forward the rest, like, yeah. Just I'm back working at a uni, and it's easy, and I do some like side teaching with Chinese students for IELTS, and have a small YouTube channel, and yeah, that's the part that I enjoy.
Are you staying there permanently? Are there any plans to come back?
Not right away, that's for sure. Maybe okay, before...
can we tell a little bit more of the story, just because it was a little too quick for the significance of it, but long story short, and then you can explain the details. I was all excited to have my buddy back. Adam's like moving back with his family. He gets here, and then like a week later he's like, yeah, I'm moving home again. I'm moving back to Korea again. I'm like, you just got here. I hate it here. You were just so anti, you were anti-government service at building. I think I remember specifically. Or was it the CNIB? I can't remember who it was, but it was like, there was an organization where you're like, oh my God, like he won't protect my daughter. Was it daughter health insurance or something?
Well, there's a couple things. Even though my daughter was a Canadian citizen, she wasn't entitled. So we moved back because
she was
my
an
daughter,
anchor baby, right?
Well, my daughter, like me, was born with cataracts.
That's right.
So that was the reason we moved back, mainly, right? Is to give her the best care possible. And I say that, but the treatment we'd already received in Korea was unbelievable, right? And again, I can't really compare, but you know, when something traumatic like that happens, like it was one of the lowest points in my life. Like, here's my greatest genetic default. Here you go, daughter. Like, yay.
That's top five genetic default, but go on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So anyway, what was I saying? So we move back, and then we go to, you know, we go to the sick kids hospital, and they're like, yeah, that'll be $500. I'm like, but it's like, yeah, but your OHIP doesn't kick in for 3 months until 3 months after you move back. I'm just like,
oh my God.
Fair enough. That was strike one. And it only took two strikes. The other strike was, well,
it's your
third
home
strike.
Country. Yeah.
Well, the third strike was family. yeah. Anyway, the second strike was, you can't imagine the paperwork at that time to sponsor your wife to be a Canadian citizen. It's a lot.
Why did your wife write it? Is that why?
Anyway, there's a lot of paperwork.
These are all wife jokes about my wife, by the way. You know that.
Anyway, picture, you have to show pictures, you have to write people at the wedding. Like, there's a lot of things you had to do. It's a little bit easier now, but like at that time it was, and I was so busy, new child, full. Anyway, do it all, James. And this was in November 2015, right? And send it in November. Well, the Canadian government, the immigration, send it back to me. And they're like, no, the forms changed. You have to start again. You have to use these other forms. The forms came out in December.
Okay. First of all, yeah, I hear you. I don't know how much more inner nitty gritty details we need to give the audience, because I think they understand the red tape in this country is ridiculous. It's often unfair. Often it's a mistake that the government makes that you have to pay for. And I've seen it happen mostly with passports since COVID.
Yeah.
Take the pictures, send it in. They don't process it for 6 months. They send the pictures back, say the picture's too old. You're like, I sent it in the fucking day after. You know?
Why doesn't this surprise me at all?
but I predict, and I could totally be wrong about this. I don't think I am, but I could totally be wrong. That the thing that really allowed you to make such a strong decision was that you knew your wife didn't want to live in Canada anyway. Right? Like, that... Like, if she loved Canada and never wanted to leave, would you be like, fuck it, we're going home? You'd be like, oh, I think we could make it work. Like, you know.
I just think there was too much going on.
Your sitcom husband spirit would kick in and you'd be like, whatever you say to her, right?
Yeah, maybe. But it's just, and the way my family was behaving at that time was also really embarrassing, to say the least. That was really the final straw. Because of your dad's,
like, baseball bat in the trunk, that thing?
Hey. He was a union guy. What do you want? I'm surprised it was that small.
There's no such thing as the union. I get it. It's fine.
that was the last straw. It's just you come back with expectations that people are going to get along and not be petty.
That was just so ballsy, though. That was just like, at the time I was just like this. So he's complaining about the stubbornness of his family as he announces moving back to Korea after 10 days. I need some time to, you know, only a member of that family would make a choice like that in that moment.
Yeah.
Right? Fucking yeah. Leaving. But it was probably the right decision.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Now you live in the drug den of a Korean kingpin. So that's great.
Yep.
That's a fake background, everybody. Why do you use a fake background?
Because I have a green screen behind me. I should have moved the camera around.
Is your computer bolted to the table?
No, but it's a desktop, and it was a bit of a pain in the arse. And I don't have like a really, I'm just looking around my office now. I guess I could tidy up over there and put a background. But James, if we do this again, I'll flip it around. We'll get a little more.
Why we would.
Yeah. Nice.
You can go. You can come on Casual Friday though, anytime you want.
Yeah.
We'll bump some of the people that have been there a lot. And we'll put your ass up there so people can be like, hey, how you doing, Adam? Tell us about Jamie. Actually, you never call me that, so that's good.
No. Yeah. Just if I'm being silly, but yeah, if I'm around your old friends or your family, it seems funny. But other than that, it's not.
No, I don't really want to be around anybody. I don't want to be around. Like, I want to see. I haven't seen my family at all. I haven't seen my family since
because of COVID. Because you're far away.
Well, that would be part of it. We have not a stalemate. It's not an impasse, really. But I've decided recently I'm never going to get my driver's license. I don't feel comfortable. I just don't feel comfortable driving. And I always have this nagging feeling that like, you're totally going to die in a car accident when you go. No matter what, that's how you're going to go. I can't shake that for some reason. And the first time that I drove after years, I had my learner's permit. And Michelle and the kids and I went to Santa's Village. And you just got to drive through Algonquin Park or whatever. And I'm driving, so it's like, I think it's 90 or 80 or something like that, the speed limit. And I see, it was so sad. I see like 8 raccoons and like 5 or 6 of them are babies. And there's blood all over the highway and they're all dead. And I'm like, I basically go to a stop and I just put my hand in front of my mouth like this. And Michelle's like, James, you might want to go since they're doing 80. And I'm like, oh, right. I don't want to like, you know, I'll get there. We're you know, the bloody deaths of animals won't even faze me and I'll be fine driving. I'm just not built for it. I'm not nervous with other people. I'm just not, I don't know what it is. I feel like maybe it's even as simple as saying that I have the kind of luck where I'll get my license on a Tuesday and everyone will die on Friday. You know, like I just don't want to do it. You know,
well, that's why I'm impressed that you don't do it. Like, I don't do it because I could barely pass the eye exam, barely, maybe in one eye, right?
Wait, they gave you a license?
No, I don't have one. I mean, I did. I used to drive when I was back in Canada, or I could. In high school, I did, but never felt comfortable. And I always had the fear of, like, if I ever hurt somebody, I just feel so shitty, right? And
yeah, because some reporter would be like, a semi-blind, you know, like that kind of thing.
I don't care about other people, but I care about what I did. Right. But that was the other reason I love living in Korea. It's like the public transit here is ridiculously good and cheap, clean. Like when you're living in Seoul, you take the subway in the morning and it's not like, you know, I think it's BBC on my app. They're like something about stabbings on like TTC, like streetcars and stuff. Like, and I just remember like, yeah. I know, maybe they're exaggerating it, but I just remember like, you're not, I don't know. I don't remember really riding with many people in suits. Like, you know what I mean? Like it's not like a low class thing to do in Korea to take the bus. even intercity buses. It's just normal. Why would you drive when they have all these buses, right?
Yeah.
But in Canada, it's just like, you take the bus, you know?
Yeah, you know, Canada's weird for that. In the rural community, Barry's Bay, where I work at the library, I remember my first week there. I just was getting to know Karen, who became like a good friend. She just retired recently, but she's dope. But I was like, I was walking to the coffee place, which is probably the equivalent of walking from like Queen Street and Spadina to maybe just a little bit north of Dundas, you know, something like that. Hmm. And she looked at me, she's like, you're walking to get the coffee? And I'm like, yeah, that's right. Like, you know, it's like 3 minutes. That's how long it takes to get there. Well, I've just never seen anyone in this area walk there before. I'm like, holy fuck, man. Like, it's weird. Small towns have like, you can't even survive as a Homo sapien if you don't have a vehicle. And it's just like, that's not true. I've lived in Saskatchewan with no driver's license. I lived in L.A. with no driver's license. Come on. You know,
like, that's impressive. And you're like almost like a role model for you. Cause like, that's what I mean. Like, I love living in Korea just because it's so easy to get around, and taxis don't gouge you like they do in Canada. Like,
yeah,
I can go pretty far for $10 in Korea. Like, pretty, like, yeah.
You sound like a first time hooker. I can go pretty far for $10, fellas.
No, that wouldn't be a first time. That'd be a long time hooker, James.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Prices, what do we get
prices drop. Yeah, right. Prices drop, right? You know?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, I didn't know about the prices, but we'll talk about that the next time you're on.
Fair enough.
Enjoy your cocaine at that table behind you.
I will. Are we wrapping it up?
Yeah, we're usually go an hour.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
This is the only chance I get to talk to you. So, yeah, I'm just hoping to do a little more. But, yeah, it's totally fine, buddy.
We'll have you on Casual Fridays. And we'll just, like, every time you come on, we'll tell a new story. We have enough, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Like, yeah.
More than we should for how long we actually live together. But anyway.
Yeah, we'll tell the story about the Russian drunk boxing match that took place at the cottage 1 year. That was interesting. We'll talk about that on Casual Friday next week.
I don't know if I. Yeah, we'll see. I don't know if I like that one. I
want to talk about that. I want to not only talk about that. I want to talk about how I'm so happy that his ex got out of that marriage. You know what I mean? Like, honestly, like I would. We don't have to name their names, but like, I'm just saying, like, in that situation, are you not completely thrilled for her?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a couple of friends of ours, or a friend that had a wife, and he basically was always kind of a dick to her. I don't even know why he was our friend. Like, he was your friend, really. He's
my friend. Yeah.
He came with you, and he had his moments, but dude, really, for the most part, he was like mega Russia version, right? Like,
no, he was like, well, when I used to hang out with them, like, he was trying to be Canadian, I guess. And that, I don't mean that like you need to be, but like,
like, he grew a rat tail?
He went from not having much of an accent to suddenly like having like a cartoon Russian accent.
Oh, someone like told it was pretty. Laid.
Yeah. And it's just like, which is fine, but it's just like, and it's good to be proud of your accent, but like, he just went a little too hard in the paint for the stereotypical not so good Russian things. Cause there are stereotypical good Russian things, but he went for the, you know, the cocaine-y, macho-y, jumpsuit-y. My favorite moment with those guys, cause I used to hang out with Russians, and again, they can be pretty racist. And I remember there was a lot of them, and it was at some North York, very expensive house with people, or at least people's parents had a lot of money, and they thought they were big shots. Mm. And I just lean back and I just say, you know, for people that don't like black people, you sure do dress like them and listen to their music.
Wow.
And
everyone thought you were the autistic kid. Like, I don't know, well, about him.
But Russians have a sense of humor, man, because they like, this guy has balls, you know? Like, wow.
I remember one time we were at that cottage, and this person was sleeping on one of the beds in his clothes still. And I walk out to him and I shook him, and I'm like, hey, you got to get up and get in line for bread. And he was like, how dare you? And I was like, oh, I dare. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah, you antagonized him more than anyone. And we also need to...
We all have our superpowers, Adam. You know what I mean?
But we also maybe or maybe not saw a UFO together. So he was also part of that.
I'm going to say because he was there that it wasn't. It was something else. Yeah. It was probably something yeah. like a key laser that he had that he hit with his drunken ass knee. And you both saw it. And you're like, whoa. You know, like,
hey, man, seriously. There was four people. We all went inside. Now, the best part is we were on, you know, we were eating mushrooms. So that makes our story totally legitimate. but the best was we went inside and we all wrote it down. And then we still looked at it. It was all the same. We were like, but we were on mushrooms. Get it out of here. Get it out.
Yeah. See, that's like, it's not the mushrooms' fault. It's the maturity level fault. You probably haven't seen this.
We sat there quietly and then went inside and we said, don't anybody say anything. Let's just all write down what we just saw. I don't even remember exactly what we wrote down, but we compared like, God damn. You know what I mean? Because there was slight disbelief in what we'd seen.
Now,
and for you
in
and I being blind, we actually saw. Hey, yeah.
Like, how close
you also can't see well.
it was at
the horizon. Oh, you didn't?
I didn't.
I'm sure you were there for that one.
I have no. Dude, do you think I would forget a memory of seeing a UFO? Like, oh, no.
I'll talk to Sean. I'm sure he remembers you being
I don't
there.
Give a fuck what Sean says. I would remember. You guys, you remember how early I used to pass out? Was it one of those things?
No.
Because I remember, I remember getting up and being like, I'm just not going to believe you, so I don't get jealous. You know what I mean? Like something like that. Was it over that shitty lake that was in his?
He's such an asshole. Yes, it was over that shitty lake.
Was it not a shitty lake?
Yes.
It like only went like 5 feet or something. It was really like low. And like it was just a forest of seaweed. And when we were there was only a half a foot of water in the fucking thing or something. You know,
like, it's like a crappier rice lake. Oh, you don't know what rice lake's like. But anyway, yeah, it's pretty weedy.
I do. I went
to
Rice Lake when I was a kid.
Oh, you do? And Rice Lake last time I went to it was better than I'd remembered it. But yes.
The internet exists now.
Well, that lake sucked, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
I know you need to get going, but yeah, like I said, I just use this as an excuse to chat with you. James is a bit of a big shot, everybody, so it's hard to get a hold of him.
He's a bit of a big shot. Off air, you know that we're both going to be like, yeah, I don't really know why you said that. A big shot? What are you talking about? I'm not a big
shot.
Oh,
no, you're busy, dude. I don't mean big shot.
Busy. That's right. Busy. You're busy. I am still totally obscure. I kind of like it like that because I'm not like pigeonholed and stuff, but I appreciate it. You know, it's all a learning experience. So I just want to continue to learn and continue to do shows.
Yeah. So yeah, whenever you need me to jump on and fill a hole, if you will.
Yes.
Let me know.
I'll see if my ex is available. I don't understand my jokes anymore either. Like,
yeah,
I think I'm getting old. I'm not going to make any more jokes.
Yeah. You say that. All right, buddy.
Yeah, I know. I go to the well.
Oh, wait, you're supposed to wrap it up. You're the host. Sorry.
Oh, thanks. Tips. Adam Can, do you want me to, what's your official, forget, we'll do that next time. Adam Can, good friend of mine. Thank you for coming to the show.
My pleasure.
And have fun in Korea. Don't eat too much pork belly and don't jab your fingers into any awaiting anuses of people because I know that that happens there. And we'll talk about that next time too, because I don't want to diss your entire country. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Dung Chin. Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Everyone Google it. How do you spell it?
Dung Chin. Well, it'd be like just DungChim. To help Google out, you'd be like Dung Chim and then Korea.
Yeah.
And then
Dung Chin.
Don't search for it at work.
Don't search for it at work. And if it brings back any memories of when you were in kindergarten, please head to your authorities immediately.
Please head to your Catholic church and tell them to knock it off.
Yeah. Just follow the trail of smell of poo and you'll end up at Jesus' house eventually. Anyways. All right, guys. Thanks, Adam.
My pleasure.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
I like having friends on. It's more comfortable. Yeah. So I'm on medication for my wisdom tooth. And I'm also on a little bit of antibiotic. That's an antibiotic. I'm on a different antibiotic for something else. And and I just had a corona, and I don't know if you noticed in the middle of, like, in the last 20 minutes of the podcast, but I felt like I was all of a sudden like this. Well, Adam, I think we're going to have to wrap up soon. We only usually go for an hour. Like, that's how I felt like I was speaking through another dimensional porthole that was filtered with shroom trips or something. Yeah, it's weird. I forgot that you're not supposed to have any alcohol whatsoever with antibiotics. And I guess I fucked that up because I'm a little wobbly. But that's fine. One Corona made me wobbly. I like that. You would never be able to say that to me, 4 years ago. And the 20 beyond that. Oh, what date are we? Wow, there's the fifth already. Tomorrow on Blackballed, another friend. This is going to be like friend week almost. We had Dodie Fair on the other day. It's too bad that her audio wasn't that great because she was using Safari, but we'll have her back. And today, Adam Can, he's one of my best friends. And then on tomorrow, it's the seventh, actually. We have Nigel Williams of the Pocket Dwellers. Nigel is like one of like the mentors that I looked up to as a kid writing rhymes. He's a dope fucking rapper. He's the front man of a band called the Pocket Dwellers. That was a really popular Canadian hip hop, jazz, acid jazz fusion band and all that. We had his best friend and my buddy, but like Nigel's best friend, they were basically family, passed away last year, Sheldon Moore, who was one of the best sort of hip hop beat makers and track polishing and all that kind of stuff. And it was really tragic. He passed away last year. And it would be good to have him because, we're in our 40s. It's unusual to have best friends die at this age that you know in your whole life. And Nigel, I love him. So it'll be another great day of just getting to know someone that I happen to know, love, and respect. So we'll see you then. And until then, we'll see you next time on Blackballed. Thanks, and have a great day. Blackballed.
Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all had.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.
I'm Matt Kundel, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent, almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.